Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in today. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend. Happy Mother's Day to you. I think with the moms, it's, you know, you don't get just a day. It's basically, what, a week or a month or a year, I think.
They deserve it.
Sure, it's kind of, it's the year of mom.
I think we'll work hard.
We'll just declare that here. Neil Stavem here, Ryan Nisley there, Grace Reifs at the phone, and looking forward to connecting with you today on the broadcast as we talk a little bit about a biblical worldview, and about, more importantly, of how we engage from a biblical worldview into the culture in which we live. You know, for those living in Minnesota, know that today is kind of a significant day as the Senate apparently will have a vote that will legalize same-sex marriage. The governor said he will sign that, and of course the big vote kind of came last week in terms of any maybe opportunity to debate or stop that. So that's certainly a major cultural shift that is going on. You know, we live in a time when, you know, there are just cultural shifts at every level, it seems like. And many emphases, it feels like, to try and maybe personalize or isolate religious expression. So you can certainly have your own religious, your faith perspective. You just, you know, keep it at home. Don't bring it out in public.
Don't talk about it, whatever you do.
That's right.
So, don't open your mouth.
No. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, in a winsome way, how do we engage? And that is the title of a day-long event that's happening for those that are in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area or want to attend it. In fact, it's one of, I think, four going on around the country. I've been in San Diego and Dallas and now coming to the Minneapolis area. It's sponsored by World Magazine and Summit Ministries, and we're excited today to have some time to talk with Dr. Jeff Myers, who is the president of Summit Ministries. He's been president for the past couple years or so. He's been one of America's most respected authorities on youth leadership development, and started his involvement in Summit back in, 1983. They're out of Colorado. And maybe you have had a student or know of them. They do the summer sessions, the student summer sessions, which are phenomenal. You hear John Stone Street fairly regularly on Breakpoint, Breakpoint Weekend. John Stone Street's one of the faculty there. And so we're excited to have Dr. Myers with us. He is also a distinguished service professor and senior fellow for leadership studies at Bryan College, where he's taught undergraduate and MBA leadership and communication courses for 14 years. He's written some book and video resources of Knights and Fair Maidens, Playpen to Podium, Secrets of Great Communicators, Secrets of World Changers, Secrets of Everyday Leaders, and most recently, Cultivate, Forming the Emerging Generation Through Life-on-Life Mentoring. That sounds like a lineup, doesn't it?
He needs to get busy. I don't think he's doing enough.
Well, Jeff, you know, you could have been working, but you're taking an hour to talk to us, so welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, I've got to do something with my lunch break, right?
Absolutely right, yes. We're all probably eating too much anyway. So, Dr. Jeff Myers from Summit Ministries, we'll talk a bit about Summit in a moment, but let's talk first about, you know, you're coming into the area for the conference called Engage, and I think that's an interesting word. Talk about the word and what it means for Christians.
Yeah, it's a great word. It came out of a discussion I had with several different Christians sometime after the election who were very discouraged and thinking, actually talking seriously about moving off to another country where it would be, you know, better. And I was saying, what's going on? They said, well, America is hopeless. We can't do anything anymore about it. And I thought, you know, I really think we need to have exactly the opposite attitude. I think the enemies of the Christian faith are hoping that we will give up at this point in time. And if we do, then we will fall into the same trap that people fell into in Psalm 78, who on the day of battle managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in a culture. And the whole of Psalm 78 is a great example, because the psalmist says, don't do that. Instead, teach your children to put their hope in God. So the whole idea of Engage came out of the fact that maybe we can get together on key issues: religious freedom, marriage, pro-life, economic stewardship, citizen journalism, things like that. And if we got together on those issues, could we figure out how we could have a winsome, strong, courageous Christian voice in the culture?
Use the word defeat and victory. Is this kind of an either or? I mean, is this all about victory? I mean, do we present this in terms of sort of the battle?
That's a good question. I only use the battle analogy because that's a common one in the New Testament. But we have to keep in mind that it's not about power. It's not about gaining political power. It's our weapons are spiritual weapons, because the warfare is a spiritual warfare. So, yeah, I think that's an appropriate way to talk about it. Now, it does tend to marginalize people in a way, but there's no question that people who stand against Christian values see this as a winner-takes-all thing. And there are times where we have to stand strong for the truth, even when it's unpopular.
You've been doing that at Summit Ministries. Talk a little bit about you first came to Summit as a student, and of course Summit, Dr. David Noble established it years ago. It's a wonderful setting in Colorado Springs. Give us a little background about how Summit has grown and what you've been doing to equip believers over the years.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course. Well, Dr. David Noble founded the ministry in 1962 in this little town called Manitou Springs, Colorado, which the New York Times travel reviewer called a hippie Mayberry. And it's exactly right. That is exactly what it is like. It's this little hippie town, just a little outpost just west of Colorado Springs, where all kinds of worldviews converge. And for now 50 years, young adults have come to Summit for these 12-day sessions. It's sort of like a LaBrie's, Francis Schaeffer LaBrie's type program, but for young adults. And they come out for 12 days. They get together with the top theologians and philosophers and Christian apologists for 2 weeks. They have answers to their difficult questions. But most of all, they learn how to change their trajectory in life. You know, most young adults are just sort of headed along a pretty normal path, not exceptional, not terrible. They're not going to end up in jail, but they're not going to really make a difference either. And at Summit, the students change their trajectory. They move from being aimless to being fearless, from being confused to having clarity about what's going on in the world around them and how they can make a difference. And I found that to be true for myself. I came to Manitou Springs as a 17-year-old, studied under Dr. David Noble, and that program had an enormous impact on my life, giving me leadership opportunities, or encouraging me to take leadership opportunities that I might not have taken any other way. And we still see that today. Summit graduates are in positions of influence all across this country. And in many ways, the fact that there's still a Christian voice in the culture can be traced back to Summit graduates. I was visiting with a guy from a foundation. He said, you know, every time we try to trace back stuff that's going on in biblical worldview, Summit's fingerprints are all over it. I said, well, that's because if you just faithfully train young adults for 50 years, they will go out and begin making a difference.
Well, I guess it needs to kind of start there, doesn't it, in terms of engaging. We need to understand, we need to have a biblical worldview that says there is a place for us to be salt and light, right? I mean, I guess there's always been perspectives to say, well, you know, the world is fallen anyway, and we'll just wait till Jesus comes again.
Well, you do hear that. Unfortunately, I don't hear that as much as I used to, but I do still hear that every once in a while. And it's a position that can only be taken when you ignore most of what's actually in Scripture and start paying attention to the newspaper rather than to God's plan for history. Let's never forget that we, no matter what Richard Dawkins says, we live in a world that God has created. And no matter what atheists or freethinkers or theological liberals say, we live in a world in which Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. It's so easy for Christians to forget those simple facts and to become discouraged rather than to continue to press forward, love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves.
Dr. Jeff Myers is the president of Summit Ministries, and they're based in just outside Colorado Springs. He's a highly Colorado Springs Summit Ministries, highly respected Colorado-based worldview training program that has trained thousands of leaders who are making a difference in politics, law, academics, medicine, science, and business. And Dr. Myers will be one of the speakers coming to the area for a special day-long event at Grace Church in Eden Prairie. It takes place on May 18th, and it's co-sponsored by Summit and World Magazine. So Dr. Marvin Olasky will be there, John Stonestreet from Summit, several other guests, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll give you some details as we go along. If you would like to be a part of our discussion today as we talk a bit about worldview, and we're going to get into some issues of life and marriage and religious liberty and politics and journalism, and we'd love to have you join the conversation, and you can call us at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can connect with us online by going to our website, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, myfaithradio.com. You can send us an email that way. We'll talk more with Dr. Jeff Myers in just a moment. Past the hour, and talking today with Dr. Jeff Myers, who is president of Summit Ministries. And Dr. Myers has a doctor of philosophy degree. He has helped teach at the Summit, developing their curriculum, understanding the times. Lightbearers worked a lot in mentorship. His latest is called Cultivate, Forming the Emerging Generation Through Life-on-Life Mentoring. And he will be one of the keynotes for a day-long event jointly sponsored by World and World Magazine and Summit Ministries called Engage. And, Dr. Myers, before we get to our phone calls here, because we've got some great questions, I just want to talk maybe about how we've engaged in the past and maybe contrast that with how we do that today.
It's hard for me to answer that question without feeling like I'm throwing people under the bus who did it differently than I think it should be done. But I do think there has been a perception, and partly it's just a perception of the world pushing this particular perception on Christians that we have been hateful and negative and so forth in our engagement. And that is, I think it's an unfair characterization in some ways. In other ways, it is fair. I think it's important for us to recognize that we need to be known by what we're for more than what we're against. Because if it's really true that we live in a world that God's created and a world in which Jesus Christ has died and risen again from the dead, then God's worldview is true whether or not people at the State House recognize it, whether they acknowledge it, whether they want to take it into account. And so we can press forward confidently knowing that it's true rather than saying, hey, stop that, as our primary attitude.
Let's go to line one. Dan is calling in from Hugo, listening to Faith 900. Dan's got a good question that we want to address. Go ahead. You're on with Dr. Jeff Myers.
I appreciate you taking my call. It's a good discussion. I found that with the majority of confessing Christians that I converse with about these very difficult topics, such as the same-sex marriage, it ends up being something that is avoided, and they're afraid to talk about it as it's divisive. And so how do you approach keeping these topics on the table and okay to talk about and not be afraid of them, but in a way that doesn't scare folks and doesn't, you know, where the opponents of this are very well organized and regularly making this public and okay. Again, it appears like there's a significant number of even confessing Christians that are very uncomfortable and will not have this as an open table discussion because they feel it's divisive and where they stay on the very surface related topics. Can you help sort of encourage how to keep this on the table and say it's okay to talk about?
Good question, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, great question, Dan. And I'd love for you to come to one of our summit courses out here sometime. We do have a program for adults as well as our one for students because that's exactly what we talk about. And there's so many ways to do it. We could probably take the whole next segment here and just really grapple with that. Let me say a couple of things to begin with. I do find it disturbing how many Christians want to just keep things on the surface. It's almost as if they're looking at the problems we face in our world and just wishing they would go away. And so if they don't go away, they just respond, they lash out with one argument or one thing that they think, you know, sort of like a bumper sticker argument that they hope will end the whole discussion rather than really digging in. So let me suggest several different things. First of all, I always like to ask people, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important do you think this issue really is? And if they tell me it's a 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10, then I say, then on a scale of 1 to 10, do you think, you know, how much should we be talking about it? And if they say it's a 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10, then I know they really do care. They just may not feel that they're equipped. If they say it's a 1, you know, then I still have something to say. Well, why do you say this issue is unimportant? You know, what led you to that conclusion? There's one simple way to just begin the discussion and keep it going and avoid the impression of feeling that it's an uncomfortable thing to talk about important issues, and that is just to take on a curious attitude. I'm curious. Why would you say that? I'm curious. How did you arrive at that conclusion? I'm curious. How do you know that's true? I'm curious. How do you define those terms? Do you see the point? You just engage in the discussion in those kinds of ways, and then it allows people to realize, wait a second, if I answer his question, he's not just going to try to slam me down. I can really talk about this. So I encourage Christians to really engage in that way. And just a fun story about this. I was visiting with one of our summit graduates recently. I said, well, you know, she said, I got to tell you how I came to the summit. She said, I'm a professional ballet dancer. I was in another country. I was doing Juliet on the Romeo and Juliet. We got a new Romeo in because our first Romeo got injured. And so we got a new Romeo in, and she said, I found out he was a Christian. So I just started picking at him. How could you believe this? How could you believe that? And she said it was so irritating because he would never really respond directly to my questions. He would say, well, I'm curious. How did you arrive at that conclusion? I'm curious. Why would you say that? I'm curious. How do you know that's true? And she said, it just irritated me so much. And she said, finally, I said, well, tell me, you know, how do you know how to engage like this? Because you're not mean or intolerant or bigoted like I've always thought Christians are. And he said, well, I went to this thing called the summit. And she said, well, I got to find out more about that. So she came in this last summer. She came to the summit. She found Christ. And, you know, and so I know now at least there are two ballet dancers out there who have a Christian worldview. So that's good news. But it's interesting to me how if we just dial back our feeling that we have to control the outcome, you know, in other words, there's always this sense that I've got to be just like, you know, those people I see on TV who always manage to say exactly the right thing at exactly the right time, and they shut down all argument because of the force of their logic. If we have that feeling that we've got to be that way, I think we'll always avoid discussions because most of us don't really feel that we could be that way or that we ought to be that way. But instead, if we have this attitude that, oh, these are important issues and they're worth discussing, then we can discuss. Of course, the next question that always comes up is, what do you do when people start calling you names?
Which is, yeah. And, of course, it seems like today bigot is one of those big names that comes up. A lot of us don't really, I mean, we don't like to get into conflict in general. I mean, no one really pursues conflict. So we, you know, we're trying to be peacemakers, I guess.
Well, I think that's right. Yeah. You know, and people, some people might say, because in the heat of an argument, especially if it's a political battle or a social battle that's taking place in the political realm, people feel like they ought to go on the attack. And so you might actually hear somebody say, you're a bigot. And of course, at Summit, one thing we do, we really make sure that we equip our people. So if you come to the Summit, even if you don't come to the Summit and you just want to get our emails and our newsletters, we're happy to send that kind of thing to you. But we always encourage people, if somebody says you're a bigot, just to reply and say, I'm sorry you feel that you have to call names instead of making an argument. And I know it's true. There are bigots out there in the world, but just because you call somebody that name doesn't mean it's true. We always also encourage people to ask questions like, well, what do you mean by bigot? Because the definition of a bigot is a person with strong and prejudiced views who will not listen to the opinion of others. So we'll say, well, you know, are you willing to listen openly to my point of view? Because if we don't want to be bigots, then we have to, we can have strong views, but we have to be willing to listen to the opinions of others. Are you willing to listen to my point of view? And if the person says no, then they've condemned themselves, right? Who's really the bigot in that conversation? So anyway, there are a lot of things. You know, some people will say, well, you just want to take away my rights, or you know, or they use ad hominem arguments. Well, you're just stupid, or I suppose you'd, you know, like on the gay marriage issue, the same-sex marriage issue, which you're dealing with there in Minnesota, you're going to face this more and more. If it's true that the legislature finishes passing this and the governor signs it, what you're going to find, this is what we found in Colorado, is that the proponents of gay rights will immediately go on the attack and try to begin shutting down the religious freedom of Christians. And so you're going to hear people say things like, well, I suppose you would have opposed blacks and whites being able to marry, you know, and things like that, because they're going to feel they've got the high ground, and then that's when the nastiness really begins to come out.
Now let's take a comment from Frank, who listens regularly on Faith 900, has some thoughts about questions. Frank, go ahead. You're on with Jeff Myers.
Yes, Jeff. I found that you know, one of the best ways of drawing a person towards Christ, of course, is to ask them the open-ended questions. Do you have any favorite open-ended questions? And by the way, since you mentioned why do you feel that way, how do you get a person to rise above feelings so that they're not just giving you those pre-programmed gut reactions, and instead start using their heads?
Yeah, great question. I have four favorite open-ended questions that I like to use, and I teach them to all the students here. The question of, why do you feel that way, or why do you think that way? In my experience, those two questions both end up going the same direction. If you ask somebody, why do you feel that way, then they can't just tell you about their feelings. They have to tell you about the reasons behind their feelings. And so by asking that question, I start moving them to more in the direction of thinking. But that's absolutely true. I don't want an emotional reaction. I think we get too much of that anyway. People are very emotional and visceral, and it's almost like it's a year-round political campaign these days, isn't it? And it would be much better if we could say, why not have a discussion about the reasons behind these things? What would be the harm of that? Why would we be threatened by that? You know, and most people are going to say, well, I feel threatened because I don't know the answers. Well, then start looking for the answers. You know, one of our things we tell students who come to the Summit course out here, if you want to be a leader, you've got to be a reader. You've got to turn off the TV. You got to turn off the TV news. You have to start actually digging in and reading. And you can come to our website. You can see tons of really good books there on every topic that you can imagine related to Christianity. And just pick one up and start reading it and see if you can become a better citizen, a better Christian, a better neighbor just by being willing to engage. But anyway, here are my four favorites. Okay, Frank, I'm sorry I kind of gave a long introduction to that. But the first open-ended question is, what do you mean by that? Somebody says, well, I believe in, what you'll hear often today is equal love, same love. Well, what do you mean by that? Second favorite question is, how do you know that's true? If you think about it, people are always assuming that what they believe is true, even though they haven't really ever had to defend it as true. If you can ask them to defend it as true, sometimes it begins to plant seeds of doubt. Oh, well, maybe I believe this for reasons that aren't very well thought out. A third open-ended question I ask is, where do you get your information? You know, what's your source on that? Because very little of what we do in thinking is well-sourced today. And then the final question, the biggie, this is one we could do a whole segment on too, is what happens if you're wrong?
That's one we want to come back on and build a bit on as we talk about some important questions. And how to more effectively engage the world around us. Engage is a day-long event, jointly sponsored by a World Magazine and Summit Ministries, and that's coming to Grace Church in Eden Prairie in the Twin Cities area May 18, and we'll give you details in a moment. And Jeff Myers, Dr. Jeff Myers, president of Summit Ministries, is our guest today. You can join the conversation. You have some questions, some comments, 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. More in a moment. Past the hour. It's Connecting Faith. Glad to have you listening in. We're connecting today with Dr. Jeff Myers, who's the president of Summit Ministries. They're a Colorado-based worldview training program. It's trained thousands of leaders, both students and adults, who are making a difference in politics, law, academics, medicine, science, and business. And Jeff is one of the keynotes for a special conference that's coming up in a few days, May 18, for those in the Twin Cities area or willing to make a little trip. It'll be at Grace Church Eden Prairie, and it's called Engage, and the event is different from other Christian conferences in that it does more than just explain the Christian worldview. It focuses on how to engage the world around us by becoming active participants in the arenas of life, marriage, religious liberty, politics, journalism, and mentorship, and you can find out more by going to the Summit website, summit.org, find out more about it. Dr. Jeff Myers is talking with us today. Jeff, just before the break here, we talked about your four favorite questions. I'm wondering if you would just maybe summarize those again, and then let's expand on that fourth question and just take the answer to that question.
Yes, yeah, happy to do it. And thanks for giving the website, by the way, because I thought earlier, I said, just come to our website. I can imagine somebody eating their sandwich saying, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah, summit.org, summit.org. You can sign up for the Engage conference there. You can find out more about the 12-day events for 16 to 21-year-old students and the resources that we have available as well. Yeah, the four open-ended questions that I was sharing with Frank there, the first one is just, what do you mean by that? You've always got to define your terms when you start into a discussion, because you find out that you're very often you're using the same word, but you're talking about two different things. If you're in my town here in Manitou Springs, Colorado, which is a very New Age kind of community, if you ask somebody, do you believe in God? Almost everybody will say yes. But then if you ask, what do you mean by God? They'll define God as a cosmic force rather than as a person. Then you realize, oh, I don't have as much in common with this person as I thought I did. The second question, how do you know that's true? I explained a little bit earlier. Just you've got to really dig in and say, okay, everybody assumes that what they believe is true, but they may not have a very well-defined understanding of what truth actually is. And there's no better way to get people thinking about truth than to ask, how do you know what you believe is actually true? You can also ask something like, why would you believe that? Or how did you arrive at that conclusion? The third question, where do you get your information, is a question of sources. Now, a lot of people say, well, you can't quote the Bible because the Bible is biased. Well, guess what? Every source is biased. If you understand the idea of bias, right? And of course, you want to ask that. What do you mean by bias? But everybody has a Bible they choose to live by. And so, what is it? Is it the Bible of their feelings? Is it the Bible of somebody's writings that they learned about in college or whatever it is? And then the fourth question, what happens if you're wrong, is just a question I ask to keep people thinking. I ask this question of myself. I ask it of my staff all of the time when we're making executive decisions. What happens if we're wrong on this? You know, what are the consequences for it? Pascal was a brilliant mathematician, and he really used that question a lot. In fact, he used it as the basis of his decision rule. He said, you know, if you're trying to make a good decision, you have to choose between two options, you want to choose the one that carries with it the fewest negative consequences. We'll use the issue of same-sex marriage as an example because I know people in Minnesota are really thinking about that today. And I know surrounding states too, Iowa, you know, there are a lot of people really grasping with this. So on the question of same-sex marriage, well, what happens if you're wrong? Well, what do you mean? Well, a lot of people who are the advocates of same-sex marriage focus in on my rights as a person or my this or my that. But the reality is the whole reason the state got in the marriage business to begin with is because man-woman marriage creates a situation that is most stable for society and best for children. If you decide to change that without any evidence, you know, what are you deciding to do? What happens if you're wrong? Just let that kind of question carry on after the discussion is over.
Well, I was wondering, you know, as we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, questions like, well, I'm curious, and, you know, just having that way of sort of winsomely engaging the dialogue. But I guess I wonder about what's the follow-up then? Is there a, you know, once that discussion starts, I think we feel like, well, we aren't really equipped to carry it on maybe beyond the surface.
Yeah, well, there is a question that it seems a little less winsome, but and you have to have built a relationship to be able to ask it. But this is the question that takes it to the next level. If you were wrong, would you want to know? If you were wrong, would you want to know? Now, a lot of people will say, well, I don't think I'm wrong. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you if you're wrong or right. I'm just asking you, if you were wrong, would you want to know? And if the person says no, then you don't have any further discussion, right? There's nothing more that you can do. It's like, okay, change the topic. Did you see the new movie of whatever, whatever? But if this person says, yes, if I'm wrong, I want to know. I want to be right. Then you can say, well, where would we go to find good, unbiased information about this? And then lead them through the process of exploring where you would actually go to find truth. All of this is comes back to the fact that there, in a soundbite culture, you never get thinking that's more than just a soundbite. But in order to really grapple with the difficult issues of our age, you have to get beyond that. There's no way around it. There's no way you can just give your bumper sticker slogan and the other person gives their bumper sticker slogan and you've solved anything. That's not only bad neighborliness, it's bad citizenship.
Do students, the 16 to 20-year-olds that come to Summit, do they engage differently than those of us that are 50-plus?
Great question. Yeah, there are generational differences, I think. There's a lot of validity to that. You know, it started in the studies of the baby boom generation, Generation X, millennial generation. We used to just have people, but now we've got generations, right? So the reason it's different for generations is because you have technology differences. And a lot of people today in a text world say they would rather text than talk. That is something that goes across all generations. It's true for older people who know how to text. It's true for younger people who know how to text. So one thing I think all people have in common is that we've got to be willing to put down our phones, stop texting for a minute, look somebody in the eye, look your kids in the eye, look your grandkids in the eye, let them look you in the eye. Tell them, look, I really want to have a conversation with you here. I want to look you in the eye. And today, what I tell it to young people, say, I want to look you in the eye and talk to you about something. I realize they've always thought eye contact is negative. You know, you should be looking down at your phone texting. You'll even see this at the mall, right? Two people sitting next to each other on a bench texting, and they're probably texting each other. They just can't – they don't even know how to have that conversation. So older people do, I think, have an advantage in that before all the texting technology was available, they actually knew how to have real conversations. Young adults have to learn how to have conversations, and they can and they want to, but they just have been told that, no, it's, you just avoid conflict altogether and just talk only to the people you want to talk to and ignore everybody else.
Dr. Jeff Myers is my guest today. He is president of Summit Ministries. You can join the conversation. Stop texting and join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Jeff will be in the Twin Cities area for Engage, a day-long event sponsored by World Magazine and Summit Ministries. They're going to help us not just learn about worldview, but how to engage the world around us by becoming active participants in areas of life, marriage, religious liberty, politics, journalism, and mentorship. Jeff, just take out of that list that you'll be addressing, are there some that we're doing better at than others, and maybe why?
Neil, great question. Right now, America is becoming more and more pro-life. Of all of those issues, we're losing it on marriage. Marriages are falling apart. Christians very often have very little credibility on the marriage issue because, Christian marriages fall apart too. And but on the pro-life issue, we're winning right now, and especially in the rising generation that I'm working with, there's a very strong sense that we ought to be standing up for those who can't protect themselves. Of course, the Gosnell trial and so forth, and there are those in the mainstream media who are trying to ignore that trial taking place in Philadelphia, which, if you've never heard about it, there's a reason why you haven't heard about it, because Kermit Gosnell is a Philadelphia abortionist who was left alone by the pro-abortion authorities in his city to run a shop of horrors. And it's unbelievable the things that happened in that place. Well, the people most concerned about this are the young adults, the college students, the high school students, the 20-somethings. They are deeply concerned. In fact, our organization helped to have a Twitter campaign a couple of weeks ago because we noticed the mainstream media was not covering the issue. And so we just had hashtag Gosnell and told people, text this around, tweet this around, Facebook it, tell your friends and so forth. But we want to shame the media into covering this critical issue. And, you know, after about 6 hours of that, there were so many thousands of tweets. Anderson Cooper got so many thousands of tweets directed at him. Shame on you for not covering this. He tweeted out and said, I am covering the Gosnell trial. I'm opening with it on tonight's show. And you think, well, that's, you know, there are millions of people who watch his show, and it's really important for people to, in the mainstream media, acknowledge that this pro-abortion culture has gone awry, and it's destroyed our whole understanding of life. There are more bills being passed, pro-life bills, in state legislatures around the country than ever before. All of this is very, very good news, especially in a climate when we look around and see so many issues on which we're losing.
Talk about maybe some of those where we're not doing so well. I want to talk about where we can have the most influence as well. I mean, is it to continue on working in the pro-life issues or others? We're talking biblical worldview. We're talking engaging culture with Dr. Jeff Myers, who serves as a distinguished service professor and senior fellow for leadership studies at Bryan College. But more importantly, he is also the president of Summit Ministries, has been involved with them for a number of years, has formed a nonprofit organization called Passing the Baton International, helping to turn the attention of Christians around the world to the urgency of preparing future leaders through life-on-life mentoring. One of his most recent books is called Cultivate, Forming the Emerging Generation Through Life-on-Life Mentoring. We'll talk more with Dr. Jeff Myers in a moment. I'd love to have you join the conversation as well at 877-933-2484. It's 12:45. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Glad to have you along today. We're connecting today with Dr. Jeff Myers, who's the president of Summit Ministries, been involved there for a number of years, and is one of America's most respected authorities on youth leadership development. Summit Ministries, along with the World Magazine, are co-sponsoring an event coming to the Twin Cities area called Engage. It will be happening May 18. It's from 9 to 4, Grace Church in Eden Prairie. You can find details online. Summit.org is a simple website to get to, and Dr. Jeff Myers talking with us today. Jeff, we talked about, you know, some areas of win, pro-life. There seems to be a great progress there. Is there, you know, whether it's religious liberty, politics, journalism, are there some areas where we can have the most influence? What's your perspective on that?
I think journalism may be the way to have the greatest influence right now. I know that sounds odd to people, but hear me out for a minute. One of our Summit graduates is named Lila Rose. She formed an organization, pro-life organization in Washington, D.C., and began sending undercover investigators into Planned Parenthood clinics and other kinds of abortion clinics. And they have had a significant impact because of their work as citizen journalists. I would recommend that people, if you don't have a Facebook account, get a Facebook account. If you don't have a Twitter account, go ahead and get one. You don't have to do anything with it right away. Just kind of follow some people and watch how they use it and kind of pick up some tips on that. If you don't have a blog, or you don't have any way to express or to write out your thoughts, go ahead and get and start something like that. None of this is costly, and almost all of it is actually free on the internet, and you can actually become a citizen journalist and begin picking up on ideas, sharing ideas, passing ideas around to your friends and so forth. Look, I think it comes down to the fact that are we willing to speak up? I was reading a great example last night about the Matatu bus drivers in Kenya. If anybody's ever been to Kenya, you know what I'm talking about. These bus drivers drive like crazy, and they're all over the place, and they crash all the time, and people die. And so Kenya was trying to think of, what should we do? Should we try to fix the road? Should we decrease the speed limits, have more seatbelt use, and so forth? And they decided on something that was really simple. They put stickers inside the buses that said, "Don't just sit there as he drives dangerously. Stand up. Speak up. Now." And they found that the passengers in the buses with those stickers were 3 times as likely to heckle the bad drivers, telling them to slow down. Total insurance claims for those buses went down by 2/3, and most important, claims for serious accidents fell by more than 50%. And do you know why? Because the people who thought they were helpless passengers on the bus realized they could do something, and they could do it now. They could speak up. I think we have to do the same thing in the culture today. You can still write letters to the editor. You can still share your thoughts with your friends. You can still share thoughts with people you meet in other places who might not yet be friends, but who would be interested in hearing a counterpoint of view to the one that they're already listening to.
And to stand up and speak up as a citizen journalist, is there a word that you'd recommend in terms of, you know, how do we use good communication, I guess, good journalistic ability, so we're not simply just ranting and it becomes a, you know, point counterpoint?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, this is what Marvin Olasky and Warren Cole Smith are going to be talking about this coming Saturday at Grace Church in Eden Prairie at the Engage Conference. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to show you step by step how to become a citizen journalist, and then show you step by step some of the principles that make citizen journalism really good. For example, Marvin Olasky has this great teaching on what he calls the ladder of abstraction. The more abstract you are, the harder it is to communicate your point. The more personal you are, the more you can use personal examples and tell stories of other people's personal examples, the more likely you are to be listened to. So this is the kind of thing folks are going to learn. Look, you haven't had enough of different kinds of worldview conferences and theology conferences where you go and sit and listen to sermons and lectures. This is not what we're talking about this coming Saturday at Engage on May 18th there at Grace Church in Eden Prairie. We are showing you. You're going to walk away with a plan. In fact, we'll coach you through a plan. In fact, we have a coach dedicated to this full time, to helping people who come to these conferences work out their plans so they can begin making a difference. There is no reason to say, "Well, I'm just a citizen. I'm not I don't have an elected office. I'm not a big time person or whatever." None of that matters anymore. In our day, everyday people can be citizen journalists who speak the truth and make a difference.
And there is hope when we do speak the truth and make the difference.
There is hope. Yeah, come to summit.org. There is still time to sign up for the Engage Conference. And I should mention, Neil, by the way, folks can come for it's $75 for adults, but there's a $25 student price, and that includes lunch. So bring young adults with you, college group, high school group, young adults who are thinking, you know, 60% of young people say they want to make a difference in the world. Say, come with me on Saturday, and we're going to learn how to actually do it. By the way, pastors, full-time Christian workers, and this includes Christian school teachers, come for free as our guests.
You can find out details online, summit.org. Let's take a call from Louie, calling in on line one. Louie, you're on with Dr. Jeff Myers. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Say, my concern in dealing with some close family members is, as they've heard and gone on the internet and learned about all the conspiracies of things happening behind the scenes that we don't know and maybe aren't reported on, and they get fixated on that. They live in this world of conspiracy. You know, Isaiah says, you know, don't get caught up in a conspiracy mindset. What would you suggest in my helping them sort of have balance and not living in fear?
You know, I love the question because I see that all the time. Every day I'm getting packages in here with all kinds of documents and little, you know, charts and arrows and things like that, because people, once they start to get concerned, they have a hard time figuring out where to take their concern. Let me suggest something that I think might be maybe the best way to approach this, and it's just the idea of servanthood. You know, Robert Greenleaf wrote that book on servant leadership many years ago, and in his question he asked is this, which is a very good one, as you're doing research and trying to figure out, that the goal of doing research and figuring things out is so that you can better serve other people. Jesus said, if you want to be first, you must be the very last and the servant of all. And so Robert Greenleaf said this. He said his criterion for whether or not somebody is serving well is, do the served people grow as persons? Do they, while being served, become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants? If you find that you're doing research and you know, you're making a lot of points and you're writing things out and yelling at people, but people aren't becoming healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, and more likely to become servants themselves, you may have sort of gotten off track at some point in time.
I was just going through my my bucket of meals ready to eat, trying to decide what to have for my survivalist lunch. No, I'm kidding. That's just sorry, Jeff.
Well, you know, and of course I live in Colorado, so sure, you can imagine what it's like out what it's like out here. People, there are a lot of people, and you go from town to town, and each town seems to have a different attitude. But the goal of a good community is that the Christians there serve others, and they serve them not just by meeting daily needs, but serving them by speaking the truth in a spirit of courage, winsomely, but speaking the truth. We need to be served generous helpings of truth, not generous helpings of conspiracy or this person behind the scenes is evil or whatever. Just look at things on the face value of them. You'll get enough information just from that to begin speaking the truth and moving people toward godliness.
And you know, that's something that I think Summit has been known for, right? It's been clearly presenting the truth, but it's also been speaking it in a winsome way. I'd assume, though, that, you know, over the years since it started and since you've been involved in it, that, you know, there's maybe truth itself has continued to be up for debate.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's always a debate about truth. Is there any such thing as truth? I mean, any student listening to this right now knows you've been in those college classes where somebody says, well, what is truth? Is there any such thing as truth? I have my truth. You have your truth. People say that kind of thing all of the time. But you go back to your open-ended questions. I'm curious, how did you arrive at that conclusion that everybody has their own truth? And, you know, what do you mean by truth? Start asking those sorts of questions, and people very quickly realize we can't all have our own truths and have them be equally true. Just that wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense logically. It doesn't make any sense in a philosophical sense, but there's no way to actually live that way in society. You know, this morning I rode my bike through Garden of the Gods, and I came to a stop sign, and I did not want to stop because I had whatever little momentum I already have, I want to keep. And so I hit the brakes, and I came to a, you know, kind of a half-hearted stop, but it was at least, you know, it was enough of a stop, I thought at the time. And then I just kind of pedaled on through. And I thought later, you know, that stop sign is a moral, that is the imposition of morality, is it not? The reason there's a stop sign in that particular place is because people need to stop, and they need to stop because there needs to be traffic flow. There needs to be traffic flow because people might get hurt. Why would we care that people get hurt? Because we believe they're made in God's image. If you look at it, and everything we have in our society around us is the imposition of somebody's moral code. The only question is whose moral code and on what basis.
Yeah, we'll want to have you back and just unpack a lot more on that. And I know you've been, you know, working on mentorship for a long time. Are you encouraged by what you see in terms of maybe the students that are coming to Summit here this summer? And, of course, that's just getting underway, I think, this week, right, next week?
We start on Sunday with our first session, and we're completely full all the way through to the end of August. We still have room, August 18th to the 30th here in Colorado, and July 7th to the 19th in our Tennessee program. If you come to summit.org, you can get more information. But, Neil, I am encouraged. I'm looking at these young adults. They want to make a difference. They want to be courageous. They want to be godly. They do need mentors, however. I think this may be the next call for the church, is to reunite the generations in a way that can really save civilization.
Dr. Jeff Myers, head Summit Ministries, and he will also be part of the Engage event going on at Grace Church in Eden Prairie for those in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area or willing to travel. It'll be worth your time, and you can find out more about it. Marvin Olasky will be there from World Magazine, and Warren Cole Smith, and a number of others, John Stone Street and Jeff Myers from Summit. You can get details online, summit.org. That's summit.org. I encourage you to check it out just to not only learn about Christian worldview, but then how to engage the world around us by participating in areas of life, marriage, religious liberty, politics, journalism, and mentorship. It's really key areas for us to live out our faith, to be salt and light, and to stand for truth. Jeff, thank you so much for good work you're doing, and looking forward to connecting with you again, and glad to have you coming to the area.
Well, I'm happy to be coming to the area, Neil. Thank you for what you do, and Ryan and Grace for all you do to make that program work. It's a fun way to spend a lunch hour. Appreciate what you do.
You can listen to the broadcast if you missed a part of it by checking out the podcast. We put it online on our show page. It's myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. You can click on the Connecting Faith show page. And I always like to hear from you. If you've got a comment, there's an email link there as well. Tomorrow, we're going to spend some time talking about Israel. May 14, the year 1948, was Independence Day in Israel, establishing the first Jewish state in 2,000 years. And we'll talk about it with award-winning correspondent and expert, the longtime Middle East author and professor David Aikman, joining us tomorrow as we talk Middle East. I encourage you to be listening for it right here on Connecting Faith. And coming up a little bit later today, Susie Larson talks to Stephen Mansfield. That's coming up at 3 and Live the Promise. You're listening to Connecting Faith here on the Faith Radio Network.